Chapter 11. Buru, the Serpent Isles. Callista stormed out through the stone doorway, sweeping aside a curtain of hanging amber beads. Her face was thunderous. A domesticated, partially feathered creature the size of a dog waddled past, and she resisted the urge to kick at it. From a balcony carved into the rock above, a heavy-set Buru man clad in a dark red chitinous shell watched her go, massive tattooed arms folded across his chest. Captain Venix followed in Callista's wake, hurrying to keep up. Both were unarmed. The Buru demanded that all outsiders leave their weapons aboard their ships before coming ashore, and they were rigorous in enforcing that decree.
That didn't go as well as I hoped.
It was a complete waste of time.
The Buru are insular, but I didn't expect him to refuse to aid us quite so loudly.
Venix had acted as interpreter for Callista since they'd arrived, 4 days earlier.
I thought you'd only been here once or twice,
Callista had said, astonished at Venix's fluency in the native tongue.
We Vestaya pick up languages easily,
Venix had replied with a shrug. Nevertheless, every attempt they'd made to get information about navigating the strange mists or to hire a guide had been met with vague answers and polite but pointed deflections. When pressed, everyone had deferred to the patriarch. But getting a meeting with the priest had taken endless hours of negotiation, all for an audience that lasted just minutes. He'd heard their plea but cut them off abruptly, refusing them any aid. Callista was fuming.
It's clear the crab priest knows more than he's letting on. Why won't they help us?
Venix shook her head.
I don't know. Perhaps some religious taboo? I'm sorry, princess. I feel like I've let you down.
The two made their way down the precarious stone steps chiseled into the rock spire that housed the patriarch's temple and domicile. They passed several guards, all bedecked in jagged crimson-red crab armor, and walked by walls brightly painted with depictions of the priest's deity, a crab the size of an island with a vast volcano upon its back. Venix had explained that the god's worshippers believed it had made the Serpent Isles at the very dawn of time, though it was not altogether benevolent. From the fiery depictions of its deeds, it seemed simultaneously a force of great destruction and creation. It was not the only god the Buru appeared to venerate, but just one in a rich and varied pantheon. One of the other important gods was a young woman with flaming hair who stood upon the backs of a pair of flying sharks, a sun deity, perhaps, while another was far more monstrous, depicted with a mass of coiling tentacles that both rose from below the waves and descended from the sky. It was a world away from the ancestor worship of Camivor, and Callista found it fascinating. Brilliantly colored parrots swooped past her and Venix as they headed closer to the base of the rock. They glimpsed six-limbed monkeys swinging through the jungle canopy below, and the humid air was filled with raucous calls and hoots from other unseen beasts. It was so utterly unlike the more arid lands of Camivor. Under other circumstances, she would have been overjoyed to explore and learn about these islands, but the pressure of her task was a constant burden on her heart, and the Buru had made it clear that outsiders were allowed to stay for only brief visits. Callista was already pushing the limits of their hospitality. In the distance, she could see the Dagger Hawk anchored just beyond the protected harbor. The harbor itself was too shallow for the Camivoran ship, though not for the scores of Buru vessels tied up at the stone docks jutting into the water. There were a few other foreign vessels moored out near the Dagger Hawk, an elegant Ionian sloop, which had what looked like a living tree forming its mast, a galley with a giant golden statue of an eagle-headed warrior at its stern, which Callista figured came from the Sandlands to the west, and several ships of a design she did not recognize. A dozen or so rock spires rose from the jungle, each carved with coiling tentacles and riddled with doorways and windows. The rest of the Buru settlement spread out below them, half hidden by the greenery.
It's a damn shame,
Venix said as she led the way back to ground level.
Buru navigators know their way around the ocean like no one else. It speaks to them. Makes me and my crew look like amateurs, and we're the best in the Camavoran fleet.
Modest too.
Well, just the plain truth is what it is. So what now?
Callista slapped a biting insect off her neck. Buru locals watched them from windows and doorways. The people were not hostile, but they were intimidating. Even the weavers, artists, and priests among them had the look of warriors.
I don't know. This all feels like a wasted venture. I'm not sure where to turn.
Well, for some good news,
said Venix as they reached the base of the spire.
The Daggerhawk is reprovisioned and my crew content. Amazing what a good hot meal does for morale.
It was busier down on ground level, with Buru moving about on their daily routines. Fishermen hawked their catches, and a group of giggling children ran past. The settlement was far larger than Callista had realized, and easily as bustling as any Camavoran fishing town.
I also managed to haggle down the price on a couple of kegs of this local brew,
Venix said, pulling out a flask and unstoppering it. She took a long swig and gave a satisfied sigh.
This'll make the crew very happy.
Callista took a sniff as Venix held the flask out to her, and her eyes watered.
Ugh! What in the name of the ancestors is that?
Venix laughed.
A local specialty. It'll put hair on your chest, that will.
Why would I want...
Callista stopped herself after seeing the look on the furred Vestaya's face.
Oh, never mind.
Venix grunted and knocked back the last of her acrid drink.
Come,
she said, slapping Callista on the shoulder.
There's a place I know down by the dock serves the best crab I've ever tasted. Let's head there, and we can at least fill our bellies while you consider our next move.
The captain was right. The crab was exquisite. But it did little to temper Callista's dark mood. They sat overlooking the ocean as the sun went down and the fishing fleets of the Buru readied to set off for their night's work. The fishermen looked like they were going to war, grimly hauling harpoons and barbed spears aboard their vessels and kissing their loved ones goodbye on the stone docks. That made sense, since as Callista understood it, they were heading out to hunt the various serpents and monsters that rose from the depths under the cover of darkness. Curiously, they all tossed something into the ocean as they clambered onto their ships.
What are they doing?
She and the captain were seated at a long table, the remnants of their meal before them. They'd been joined by several of the Daggerhawk's crew. The rest of the table was made up of various locals and sailors from the other ships anchored out in the bay, making for a diverse group, with easily half a dozen different languages being spoken. It was a busy place that seemed as popular with the Buru as with the visitors.
Offerings to the Mother Serpent,
said Venix, throwing back another cup of the potent local brew.
It's a respect thing.
Callista looked at her own half-empty cup, contemplating whether she should finish it. It had a foul taste, but the sensation of warmth it gave her was not unpleasant. Before she could make up her mind, Venix reached over, grabbed it, and knocked it back in one gulp.
What?
She said, seeing Callista's surprise.
You've been staring at that for over an hour.
Callista smirked, shaking her head.
At last,
the captain crowed.
That's the first time you've stopped scowling all evening.
Her expression clouded once more. What right did she have to enjoy herself while the queen lay dying of a poison from a blade she should have stopped?
Maybe I should head back to the Daggerhawk and leave you and the crew to it. I fear I am not the best of company right now.
Give it just a little longer, and we'll head back together,
said Venix, leaning back in her chair and casting her gaze around the tables. While the locals were paying them no mind, more than a few of the foreign sailors were giving them dark looks, and Callista had heard several of them muttering under their breath when they'd arrived. Camavor's reputation reached even as far as this, it seemed. Perhaps they thought the Daggerhawk was a scouting ship, assessing new lands to conquer. She had enough of a warrior's intuition to know that the mood could easily turn ugly, and was suddenly thankful for the Buru law that ensured that no outsider could come ashore with a weapon.
It might be best if we all went back now.
Nah,
said Venix with a smile.
I'd say things are just about to get interesting.
As if on cue, a foreign sailor bumped into one of Venix's crew, hard enough to make him spill his drink. The two were instantly nose to nose, and others were rising, waiting to see if anything escalated. A pair of massive local bruisers moved in, but Venix intervened first.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, I'm sure this can be resolved amicably,
she said, hands raised placatingly. Her tone was jovial, but the dangerous glint in her eyes told Callista exactly what was going to happen, and she slowly rose to her feet. One of the sailors from the Western Sandlands glanced down at the captain, who came barely to his chest height, and said something dismissive before looking away again. Callista winced.
Oof, that wasn't smart.
Without missing a beat, Venix hit the man square in the throat, twisting her hips to put all her weight behind the blow. He crumpled backward, and the room erupted. More sailors were on their feet, roaring in anger and throwing punches. A chair got smashed over one sailor, and a hurled plate took another in the side of the head, felling him instantly. Venix laughed uproariously, ducking under a wild roundhouse before lifting her attacker off the ground with a perfectly weighted uppercut to the chin. Callista watched the melee, arms folded across her chest. For their part, most of the locals were standing back, letting the foreigners beat one another. The two big bruisers were smirking. A sailor turned toward her, unsteadily wielding a broken chair leg.
Oh, don't do it,
she warned, but he came at her in a rush. She caught the blow and with a deft twist forced her attacker to his knees. He dropped his makeshift weapon and cried out in pain as his shoulder was wrenched out of its socket. As a general, Callista didn't approve of off-duty brawling, but she did take some satisfaction as she received a respectful nod from the locals after she kicked her howling opponent away. A tiny old woman emerged from the kitchen, shouting, and the two big bruisers finally moved in to break things up. One of them pulled apart two scuffling combatants, lifting them off their feet, one in each massive hand, while the other grabbed a fighting sailor by her pants and shirt back and hurled her straight into the ocean.
We're done! We're done!
laughed Venix as one of the big Buru turned toward her. The captain pulled the last of her crew from the brawl and escaped into the night, leaving destruction behind her. Callista was last to leave.
The Argent Throne sends its apologies,
she announced with a slight bow, but it was clear no one had any idea what she was saying. All eyes were on her now, and many of the expressions spoke of the potential for more violence. Knowing there was one language everyone spoke, Callista pulled out a handful of Camavoran coins, enough to pay for the damages twice over. She held them up for all to see, then placed them in a neat pile on one of the tables remaining upright. Seeing that everyone's eyes were now on the coins, Callista swiftly made her exit, hurrying to join Venix and her crew. More than a few of the crew were sporting injuries, though nothing more serious than a few broken ribs and black eyes, but all were chuckling and chatting happily as they headed toward the docks.
So, what was that all about?
Said Callista, falling in beside the captain.
Figured we could all do with letting off some steam. Fun, wasn't it?
Callista shook her head, but couldn't help smiling. Still comparing wounds and exploits, the sailors piled into their rowboat, and Callista was about to step aboard herself when she saw a man approaching. Frowning, she turned toward him. It was dark, but it was clear he wasn't local. She tensed, wondering if it was someone looking for payback from the brawl, though taking on all of the Camavorans alone would have been foolish in anyone's book. He said something Callista did not understand, his words sounding guttural. Venix barked back at him in the same harsh language.
You speak his tongue as well?
Like I said, languages come easy.
What does he want?
Venix and the man spoke. It sounded like they were arguing, practically shouting at each other, but Venix didn't seem angry. The Vestaya turned back to her.
He says he knows you didn't get the answers you were looking for from the Buru Elder. Says he knows someone who could give you those answers, though. And he offers to lead us there. For the right price, of course. Oh, and he also knows you're a princess, which I imagine has doubled his price at a minimum.
Callista assessed the stranger. She didn't particularly like the way he smiled at her. His teeth were made of steel and they glinted in the moonlight.
But what other option do I have?
You sure about this?
The Dagger Hawk was anchored in a wide bay near the largest of the Serpent Isles, the better part of a day's sail from the Buru port where they had met their newfound guide. Callista stood at the very rear of the Camavordan ship, poised to clamber into the rowboat hanging off the stern, held in place by a series of ropes and pulleys.
No, but I don't have a better idea right now.
Through Venix, Callista had learned that the man who'd approached her the night before was Razu Pharos, a trader, explorer, and sometime purveyor of information and hard-to-find things, as he described himself. He hailed from a port city called Ashra Vazan, on a narrow isthmus to the west. Callista vaguely remembered the name and believed that a delegation from that city had come to Camavor years earlier, seeking trade relations. They'd been rejected, from what she could remember.
All he sees when he looks at you is coin.
Oh, I know. Doesn't mean I won't get the answers I seek, however.
Pharos's ship, anchored nearby, was unlike anything Callista had ever seen. Her name was Progress, and she was a wide vessel of sturdy construction, with what looked like fortified manors built into the bow and stern, complete with shingled roofs, glass windows, and chimneys. The one at the rear even had a giant clock built into its front, and when the hour chimed, an array of tiny doors opened and tiny figures paraded out.
What's wrong with telling time by the sun?
Venix had remarked when they first glimpsed the ship.
And there is no magic involved.
Callista had asked Pharos. He flashed his steel grin and spoke with passion.
No magic,
Venix had translated.
Gears, hidden mechanisms, and Ashra Vazan craftsmanship is what he says. I'm not going to bother translating everything else. He's bragging, saying how expensive it was to build and such. I think he's trying to impress us. Seems like a total waste of money, if you ask me.
Venix might be disdainful of the ship's practicality, but Callista was impressed with the ingenuity on display.
I really don't think this is a good idea,
Venix said as Callista climbed into the rowboat.
But I'm coming with you.
She clicked her fingers, getting the attention of her cabin girl.
Go get Jada for me, would you, love?
Jada,
said Callista as the youngster shot off below deck.
My best girl. And I've known a few. Not counting the Daggerhawk, of course. She'll always have my heart.
Jada, Callista discovered, was a massive, two-handed, curved scimitar with an ornate crossguard shaped like a coiled serpent.
It's almost as big as you,
she said as Venix strapped the scabbarded blade over her shoulders.
She ain't ever let me down. Best relationship I've ever had.
She turned to a sailor on the deck.
Take us down.
Ropes were untied and slack given out, lowering the rowboat to the glassy sea. There were four of the Dagger Hawk's crew on board, in addition to Callista and Venix, and they took up the oars, rowing toward shore. It was an isolated, untouched part of the island, with no evidence of habitation. Immense rock formations rose up before them, bursting with waterfalls and greenery.
Why would this seer be out here, of all places?
Said Venix, staring at the dense, hot jungle.
Seems very impractical for visitors to find her.
Perhaps that's the point.
Or perhaps the point is to merely lure you to a quiet location and take all your gold.
Not beyond the realm of possibility. Perhaps just view it as another way to blow off some steam.
Venix grimaced.
I'd sooner stick to barroom brawls with drunk sailors.
Noted.
They neared the beach, and Callista jumped into the waist-deep water to help haul the boat onto the sand. The water was warm and inviting, but the number of fins and scaled things she'd seen between the Daggerhawk and the shore meant she had no desire to linger any longer than necessary. Razu Pharos stood alone, smiling broadly as they approached, his teeth glinting. He bowed to Callista and then spoke to Venix. Venix scoffed.
What is he saying?
Unsurprisingly, he wants to talk about payment.
Where's this proclaimed seer of his?
Venix spoke with Pharos again, who nodded toward the trees.
He says the seer is a ways into the jungle, but he's being purposely unclear. Says we can be there by sunset if we get moving. I don't think he wants to give too much away before we pay him.
Pharos spoke again, gesturing to himself, then to Callista and her companions.
He's again saying how he's a man of his word, that he is leading us in there alone without any of his guards, as an act of good faith. But he really wants to be paid.
Fine,
said Callista, producing a pouch and holding it up.
This is a third of your payment. You'll get the rest after we see the seer and are back safely.
She tossed the pouch over to him, and he caught it deftly.
Do not betray me, Pharos,
she added, leveling a finger at him.
You will come to regret it if you do.
Venix translated, and the man laughed, shaking his head. Among his words, Callista recognized one. Camavoran.
What's so funny?
We are, apparently.
Venix sniffed.
He says not everyone is as ruthless and driven by greed as Camavorans. I really don't like this man.
Let's just get going, shall we?
Pharos gave her another bow and gestured up at the jungle. Once they were on their way, Callista stepped close to Venix.
Keep an eye behind us. Make sure no one follows us.